Thank you for tuning in to Senior Sense, Navigating Your Journey, a Mosaic Senior Life podcast series created to provide information and stimulate discussion about important issues in senior living. I am Andrew Banoff, President and CEO of Mosaic Senior Life. Every day we are asked questions about aging, Alzheimer's disease, home care, and all aspects of the senior care navigation process. We hope that these podcasts will give you valuable information and that we can be of assistance to you and your loved ones in your journey.
Welcome to today's podcast. I am Mary Przinski, here with my co-host David Magner. Today we are here with Denise Mortati, a licensed Connecticut attorney who specializes in estate planning, elder law issues, and probate matters. Denise has many years of experience, including drafting and executing wills, advanced health directives, and powers of attorney, working with individuals on eligibility for state and Medicaid, Title 19, spending down and protection of assets, personal care agreements, pooled trust, and settlements of estates and establishing conservatorships. Thank you, Denise, for being here with us today. We appreciate you joining our podcast to help listeners who are searching for clear information and guidance on what both conservatorship and power of attorney mean, and more importantly, the key differences between the two. When someone is going through the caregiving journey, it's incredibly helpful to hear directly from an expert, especially when you're trying to make decisions that impacts a loved one's well-being. Denise, let's start with, what is a durable power of attorney?
A durable power of attorney is a legal document that allows you to appoint an agent to assist with financial transactions on your behalf in the event you're incapacitated or otherwise need help. That person or persons can access your funds, pay your bills for you, make transfers between accounts, and take care of just about any financial transaction for you. The fact that it's durable means that it's valid past the point of incapacity, which is obviously very important.
So Denise, next question is, what exactly is conservatorship and are there different types of this?
Yeah, conservatorship is a form of legal guardianship over an adult. So there are two different types, voluntary, where the person is agreeing to being conserved, and involuntary, where the person doesn't have the capacity to agree or may otherwise not want to be conserved. And within each of these types, there's a conservatorship of the estate, which deals with financials for the person, and conservatorship of the person, which deals with medical and personal issues for the person.
Why or when would you need one over the other?
When people don't put a power of attorney or healthcare directives in place, their loved ones are not able to properly help them. If they don't have the capacity to sign these documents, or perhaps even refuse to sign them for some reason, the family would have to petition the probate court to establish a conservatorship. This would allow the family to do what's needed to help the person in need, help with finances, medical and personal decisions. A conservator is under the jurisdiction of the probate court and has to periodically report to the court to submit accountings and so on.
So, looking forward, would I need an attorney to draft a durable power of attorney? Do I need an attorney to establish conservatorship? How does it all work out?
It's very helpful to have an attorney assist you with setting up a durable power of attorney, as there are optional powers and authorities that you can give to your agent, and an attorney can explain these to you to help you to decide if you wish to include them or not. An attorney will also make sure that the document is executed properly. If it's not, it may not be accepted by a bank or financial institution. The same goes for a conservatorship. There are several forms that have to be completed to put one in place, and ongoing documents like accountings that have to be submitted to the probate court periodically. There is an initial hearing at the court as well, where the court will evaluate whether a conservatorship is really necessary. It's helpful to have an attorney to make sure the forms are completed properly and to attend that hearing as well. The court takes conservatorships very seriously, as you would imagine, since you're taking away a great deal of the person's independence when they're conserved, and it is only put in place when absolutely necessary. The court even appoints an attorney to represent the conserved person's interests to make sure that their wishes are known to the court, if possible. and the person who wishes to be conservator should have an attorney present to explain to the court why they feel it's necessary. With involuntary conservatorships, medical evidence is needed as well.
So one of my questions in between conservatorship and power of attorney is, where does healthcare directives come in? That's a question that I get asked often.
So healthcare directives are a separate document from a power of attorney that deals specifically with medical issues. You're appointing an agent to make those decisions for you in the event you can't make them for yourself anymore. And it also lists your end-of-life care instructions. So if you don't have that document in place, conservatorship can help with that as well.
Can you have someone overseeing your healthcare directives versus someone different with your power of attorney?
Yes, it can be two totally separate people. And you could also set up a conservatorship in the probate court for one or the other. You don't even necessarily have to have both.
So Denise, can you give me a situation of why you might need a conservatorship?
What I see a lot is because if people don't have their documents properly created, like a power of attorney and healthcare directives, the family has no choice but to have a conservatorship put in place. And sometimes it's not necessarily who the person would have appointed, and that can sometimes be an issue too. Mm-hmm. If you have your documents already set up, power of attorney and healthcare directives, you're picking and choosing the person that you want. What I see a lot of, too, is that people will oftentimes be unhappy with the person who's acting as their power of attorney. They may feel that they don't need help yet. And so the power of attorney is unable to help them because the person is very resistant. This happens a lot when people have cognitive issues like dementia or Alzheimer's. And they are forced to go to the probate court to have a conservatorship set up because they're unable to help the person, even though they do have the documents set up. So there are a lot of issues with a conservatorship. And then you're also, another point is that you're also then under the jurisdiction of the court, which can become an issue. You have to ask the court's permission to move a person if the person is in a home setting and may need nursing home care or even assisted living care. The probate court has to approve that move. The only time the court does not have to approve a move is if it's coming from a hospital setting and the person needs to be placed. But other than that, you need to report to the court and ask the court's permission. So a conservatorship can sometimes be very cumbersome.
I agree. Another question on top of that is, let's say you have a loved one and one individual is power of attorney and one individual is assigned for healthcare directives. Are there any challenges that may arise with having two different people overseeing two different vastly parts of that individual's health and wellness moving forward?
Yeah, that sometimes can present an issue. Many times people ask different people to take charge of these roles. But if you think about somebody moving into an assisted living community or a nursing home setting, and they're making that decision as either the healthcare agent or the conservator of the person, the power of attorney or the conservator of the estate has to be on board because they're handling the person's finances and would be paying from the loved one's monies in order to put them in that setting. So if they're not on the same page, that could become very problematic.
I agree. And when would you recommend, you know, these are tough conversations about speaking to loved ones about, hey, listen, I'm looking for you to be my future POA or oversee my health directives. I know with my mother, I did at 25. And it was a very difficult conversation to go through. But we also see in the healthcare world, a lot of people come in, whether they're recommended to adult day and such, and no paperwork has been done. Right. So is there a time frame you recommend most people to really start having those conversations and getting that paperwork in order?
The sooner the better, right? What I see is that oftentimes people come to me in a crisis when it may be too late to put the paperwork in place because the person doesn't have capacity to sign documents anymore. That's really difficult. So everyone of every age should have a power of attorney and healthcare directives and a will. because we never know what's around the corner for any of us and when we may need help, even if it's just temporarily, right? So I recommend the sooner the better. That's what estate planning is all about. It's about planning for unknowns. So certainly before any kind of incapacity happens, I have people coming to me sometimes in very early stages of dementia or Alzheimer's. They still have capacity to sign, and we will do those documents, you know, quickly for them. But really, it should be happening well before that.
Yeah, we see a lot of times here as well when we're doing admissions for, say, the Adult Day or any other of our programs, and we see the same thing. People are always waiting till the last minute in the crisis, like you said, and it's really difficult because then they're under pressure and it gets stressful. And if they just did a little more planning, you know, everybody, myself included, should be doing that planning sooner than later.
Yeah, and I think what happens too is that people feel that having a power of attorney and healthcare directives, they're losing control and mm-hmm. they're losing their independence. And it's really not that. It's really planning for those times when you really may need the help. I have a lot of older people that still have capacity, still have the ability to pay bills and make decisions, but they really just want help too. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. So
absolutely.
We really want to give people the opportunity to have those documents in place so that they can ask for help when it's needed. And then, of course, if there is some kind of incapacity, that the documents are in place already.
Great. Well, listen, Denise, thank you so much for spending time with us on today's podcast and really providing information and guidance on what both conservatorship and power of attorney mean and their differences. These are really important for people to know out there, so we appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast for Mosaic Senior Life. Please stay tuned for additional episodes on topics that are meaningful to you. In the meantime, please call us at 833-MSL-LINK, 833-MSL-LINK, that's 833-675-5465, or contact us at mosaicsl.org. That's Mosaic with a Z, S as in senior, L as in life, .org, mosaicsl.org, for more information on any of our services.